Great. Well, let's take a quick break from seagrasses and have a look at what else has been going on in the world of ocean science and conservation. First up, plastic debris. It's a growing concern. It's something that's been talked about quite a lot lately. There's been a couple of campaigns to raise awareness about plastic in the oceans. You might have seen that rather disturbing picture of sushi made up of plastic bags and another one of a little kid pulling up the edge of the sea under by the waves and looking under and all this terrible plastic waste hanging around that we don't see because, you know, it's under the waves and it's out of sight. But it's been known for a while now that a growing abundance of plastic that's hanging around in the marine environment comes in the form of tiny particles or microplastics that are less than a millimetre in size. And that's obviously stuff that we won't see with the naked eye. But the question is, where's it all coming from? That's the big question tackled by a team of researchers led by Mark Brown from the University of California, Santa Barbara, and Richard Thompson from Plymouth University here in the UK. Their paper came out late last year, and I had a chance to catch up with Richard and find out more about their forensic approach to identifying the source of polluting plastic.
In 2004, we published a paper showing that small fragments of plastic, microscopic pieces, some less than the diameter of a human hair, were accumulating in the oceans and that they'd increased over time. So the key question was, you know, where was that material coming from and to what extent was it causing harm? And over the last 10 years, we've examined a number of different routes at the University of Plymouth. We've looked at rates of fragmentation of larger items of debris, and we know they contribute to the picture. We've looked at direct releases of small pieces of plastic into the environment, pieces of plastic, for example, that are used as abrasive scrubbers in cleaning products, pieces less than a millimetre or so in size, and yet many tons released to the oceans through sewage and wastewater. But another line of inquiry that we wanted to pursue was that some of the material, the microscopic material we were finding, was fibrous in shape. And it occurred to us that some of this could be resulting from the cleaning, both at home and in industrial settings, of fabrics and textiles, resulting in accumulation of small fibres that wouldn't necessarily be removed by any form of sewage treatment.
Richard, Mark and the team set out and took samples of sediments from shorelines in 18 sites spanning the globe on 6 continents, and they found microplastic everywhere. The team then zeroed in on the possible source of these fibres.
We found quite substantial quantities of fibres being released at the ends of a washing machine pipe. We found similar fibres being released from sewage treatment plants, and we found in the UK that despite the fact that dumping of sewage sludge stopped over 10 years ago, there was a greater abundance of this kind of synthetic fibre at sites that were formerly used as dumping grounds than in nearby reference sites.
So what is the likely impact of all this plastic on marine life?
We know from laboratory studies that creatures with a range of different feeding mechanisms, barnacles and mussels that filter their food from the water column, marine worms that live in sediments and effectively strip their organic matter from those sediments, and detritivores, things like sandhoppers that live at the top of the shore, all of those creatures will ingest material of this size in laboratory exposures. And indeed, with the work with the mussels that we did here at Plymouth showed that after a single exposure and then moving the mussels to clean conditions, even after more than 40 days, those mussels have still got plastic in their system. And so there's some suggestion that, you know, these small fragments of plastic can accumulate in the tissues of organisms in a way that we wouldn't expect from the natural food source. That still doesn't prove that it's doing those creatures any harm, but I think it's an important step on the way to establishing what harm it might cause.
A further concern surrounds the possibility that very small pieces of plastic could transport and release chemicals found in the environment from other sources.
A lot of the chemicals of concern here are hydrophobic in nature, and so they'll latch onto plastics in preference to water. And so a small piece of plastic exposed in the sea within a space of a week or so will absorb and concentrate on its surface concentrations of some of those chemicals that can be many, many fold the concentrations in the surrounding seawater. So that's a potential. If those plastics are then eaten, could those chemicals then be released? And that's in addition to existing concerns about some of the chemicals that are used in the production of a variety of plastics.
A team in Japan are running a project called International Pellet Watch, and they're asking members of the public to send in tiny particles of plastic so they can analyse and map out the global distribution of these hydrophobic organic pollutants that stick to plastic in the ocean. So if you want to find out what chemicals are found on your local beach, then check out pelletwatch.org. Well, plastic debris in the oceans is obviously a huge topic, and you can find out more about that from a recent report that Richard co-wrote for the Global Environmental Facility. You can download that from our website. But as his study showed, if all these plastic fibres are washing out of our clothes, up to 19,000 of them for each time a single fleece is washed, which is what the team found, then is the solution simply to get the washing machine engineers to come up with better filters so these fibres don't end up in sewage water in the first place?
It's part of the picture. Fixing the quantities of small synthetic fibres passing from wastewater pipes is not going to solve the problems of pollution of the oceans by solid marine debris, a large proportion of which is plastic items, rope, netting, packaging. And what we're discussing here with respect to fibres in washing machines is part of that story, but it's not going to solve it on its own.
Richard Thompson there from Plymouth University, talking about his study looking into the sources of microplastics that are getting everywhere in the oceans.